containers in the building, nigga.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
We do top five, bottom five every single Tuesday, or at least when, you know, both of us are here. You know, so but if we're not here, we do it on a Wednesday. Whenever we do it, we do top five, bottom five after the week is done, after Monday Night Football, and we are doing it today. So here's the top teams in the NFL between Ron and I as we continue along. You can also tweet your top five, bottom five. You want to get in on the action at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. All right, you ready to start this potty? Five and all the way up?
Let's do it.
All right, number five. I had a choice. I had a choice between three teams.
All right.
And so these, and I'm going to mention the three teams because the team I picked would mean the other two are not listed.
Right.
I did not put the teams down. And that was between the Cincinnati Bengals, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
And I picked the Dallas Cowboys. I went back and forth. I didn't really want to punish the Bengals for losing to Houston. I know Miami, they had the week off. They're on a bye week. But who'd they play? I think they had the week off, right?
Yeah, they had the week off.
The Dolphins had the week off. But there's something about Dallas. I'm going to give them credit for the game against Philadelphia, a game they should have won. And you're supposed to beat the Giants by a ton, and they beat the Giants by a ton. And Dak Prescott's playing really good right now. Now, I don't think this is going to last because as we know with Dallas, they can let you down as quick as they can bring you up. But I'm going to, for week 10, I'm going to put them ahead of both Miami and Cincinnati, and they are my number five team.
You know what? I have those two teams not in my top five either.
All right.
And, you know, yeah, Bengals, you got to get punished. I mean, just a little punishment, not too terrible.
Yeah, not too
terrible. Even flirted with bringing the Texans here, even though I don't believe that they are a top five team, just so we could talk about C.J. Stroud.
Sure.
Because that was magnificent, and I like what the Texans are doing. And when I was doing that playoff predictor, like I told you earlier, I had them, for some reason, somehow, they became the AFC leading number one team. And I was like, I must have done something wrong,
right,
giving them way too much credit. But back to the top five. Number five for me, I also went Cowboys here.
Cowboys, all right.
You're exactly right. You did what you were supposed to do, which was, you know, I am a little disappointed. I might have moved you up higher on the list if you had blanked the Giants once again, but you only allowed 17 points in two meetings against them. So, yeah, you're doing all right. That defense looked sharp. The offense looked better. Everything was clicking. Poor Tony Pollard didn't get a touchdown.
Yeah, poor Tony Pollard didn't get a touchdown. Exactly.
Everyone else did.
Exactly. All right, number four on the list. Welcome back, old friend, San Francisco 49ers. Welcome back. It was the game in which we wanted to see with Deebo Samuel what you're all about, and what you're all about is really, really good football team. Dangerous, dangerous football team. Now, listen, it doesn't mean I thought the world of Jacksonville. I never had Jacksonville in my top five, even though they were winning five in a row. But in a game that people were circling and saying, you know what, this is the game. Look at them. They're playing really well. You're coming back from the bye week. Well, let's talk. Let's see what you are. The 49ers put on a show, and they didn't need Christian McCaffrey scoring a touchdown to do it. They're the number one pass offense in the NFL. They have a fantastic pass defense. I'm going with the 49ers at number four.
All right, number four for me. This one stung a little bit, but again, remember I said at the very beginning of the year, you know, we have, as a show, Wake Up Call does have an NFL team. And number four for me is the Lions.
The Lions.
Even though it did sting a little bit on a personal level, I can't hate what they did. I mean, it was a back and forth game. Every time the Chargers did something, the Lions answered. Every time the Lions did something, the Chargers answered. Defensively, they were terrible. They couldn't stop. They couldn't stop anything. But offensively, which we haven't really seen out of the Lions before, at this level, they were magnificent. They were fantastic. They could do anything they wanted to do against that Chargers defense, which goes along. If you need to know how I feel about the Chargers, go listen to the last segment. Go listen to the good, the bad, the dumb, and
right,
you'll find out exactly how I feel about a certain head coach of a certain favorite team of mine. But Lions are number four for me.
All right. Lions, to me, I should have put them in my top five. I don't know why. Maybe it's their defense.
The defense was terrible.
Defense. Yeah.
It was a Big 12 game.
But I do know this. I'm really excited for Thanksgiving because this is a really good football team. really, really good football team. And I think they're playing Green Bay, if I'm
yeah,
not mistaken.
And for once, that game's not irrelevant. Because that was always the irrelevant morning game where it's like, do I watch football or do I keep it on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
We did that same thing in our house. The main TV, while my wife is in the kitchen and she's getting all that stuff, is like, is it going to be – because if you want to watch football, there's a TV upstairs.
Of course. Or one
and I'm like, all right. But the Lions always made you go – you know what? We can turn it off once Santa Claus comes to Herald Square. Once that happens, then I can switch it back to football. But now it's like I want to see the Lions in every bit of their glory this year at 7-2 going into their game coming up this weekend and then Thanksgiving next week. So, but number three for me was Baltimore. Now, I had Baltimore, I think, number one last week.
Yes, you did.
I dropped them because they lost to Cleveland. And I saw a stat today on Good Morning Football that blew my mind. They've only trailed in 28 minutes of football this season in 10 games, whatever they played, 9 games.
That's unreal.
It's unreal. That is 9 60-minute football games. They have only trailed for 28 minutes. But here's the problem. All the teams that have similar statistics after 10 games were 10-0. And the Ravens are not. The Ravens are not. They're 7-3. So I'm sorry, 600 minutes of football that they've played. They've only trailed in 28 minutes of those. But they're 7-3 because the Browns only took the lead of that game on Sunday when the ball went through the uprights in the last play of the game. That's the kind of thing the Ravens are doing. I kid you not, when they say they should be 10-0, they are right. They should be 10-0. They have not had a real clunker. We're like, whoa, what the heck happened to the Ravens? Every game they've lost this year, they've lost because they made a mistake here or there in a close game they should not have made. They've never been just blown out of the water. At least I think there was one game that they had that didn't go their way. But I know the Pittsburgh game and I know the Cleveland game. Both of those games were super close. So the Ravens are three, down two spots to number three on my list.
That's right. Number three for me, this is where I put the Chiefs. And I can't remember if I had them at three last week. Yeah, there was a bye. They didn't do anything wrong this weekend. Maybe the only thing that could have been wrong was Travis Kelce changed his name to Karma, apparently.
Yeah.
For a brief moment down in Argentina for a song. But yeah,
nice.
Chiefs are doing Chiefs things again. They're just going to, they're going to be the best in the AFC.
Yeah, and I had the Chiefs at number two, just to piggyback on that. I had the Chiefs at number two.
Not much to say about them this week because we don't have any. They didn't showcase anything.
That's right. Their defense is not allowing anybody to score. You can run on them, but you really are having a hard time passing on them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been one of the keys to the Chiefs is that, you know, Patrick Mahomes doesn't have to answer for a defense. It's a sieve. He's, you know, he doesn't have to be out there going, don't worry, I got it. I'll drive down the field again in 13 seconds. He doesn't have to play like that. Is it the Chiefs of old? No, it's not the Chiefs of old. And one day we'll get our good friend Alex Gold to sort of explain that to us. What exactly is different between these two teams? I think that they don't have dynamic receivers, but it doesn't seem to be all that much of a problem. But
doesn't seem to really matter.
Doesn't seem to matter.
Number two for me, this is where I have the Niners. Now, I'm going to preface it by saying this. I booted the Niners out of the top five last week.
Sure did. Yeah, we did both.
I did not like the way they played. They were going in the wrong direction, losers of three straight. They did exactly what they were supposed to do coming off a bye, which was just annihilate whoever stood opposite of them.
Right.
It was a clinic. And I bumped them all the way up. I was feeling like you, where I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll just put them just into the top five. You were out of the top five. Now you're working your way back in. I threw him all the way up to top two for mainly one reason, and that reason is Chase Young.
Chase Young, what a resurgence.
That defensive line now, I was talking to Luke Morrow, who has who does a Sports Map Tonight.
Right.
On our network. And I was talking to him yesterday, and I said, we need to come up with a name because that defensive line is phenomenal. That defensive line is going to be a force to be reckoned with. When you have anchors of Chase Young and Nick Bosa, and then you have Armstead in the middle. I can't remember the other guy's name, but you got those four. It's we had the New York Sack Exchange. We had the Purple People Eaters. What can we call this line? And he just looked at me and goes, how about Gold Rush?
Gold Rush, what a name.
I was like, that's beautiful.
Nice.
So I got to give him credit for that because I think, yeah, this line is going to need a name now.
Gold Rush. That's good. I like Luke on that one. That's very good.
Yeah.
I think the number one team we both have it is the same thing. One then. That's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Played a great game last record. Week.
Oh, wait, they no. sure did. Yeah. Wake me up when it's...
No,
well, I mean, it's welcome to the rest. Both Kansas City and Philadelphia got a break for their big Super Bowl 58 rematch, Troy, Monday night at Arrowhead.
Oh, man. It's going to be fun. I can't wait for Monday night. That's going to be a great, great game.
It really is. It really is. I always like when we get Super Bowl rematches. We don't always get them. Because
and we don't usually
the
get them
works.
Late in the season like this.
Yeah,
that's the other fun part.
Late. Right. When we do get them, it depends on. But we don't get them a lot. But when we get them, they're really fun, especially when the teams are good. Now, when the teams are as good as they were when we last left them together in February.
There's only one question that remains, though. Yeah. Will she be there?
Ah, good. She's got to be there. It's the biggest game of the season for them, right?
Yeah. And family will be there.
Right.
Just saying.
Can't have her not there. Bottom five coming up next.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Joe Blank will join us coming up in 15 minutes. We'll talk Houston Texans with them. How in the world are they 5-4? Well, CJ Stroud for one. So they're not in the bottom five. But there are some other teams that are in the bottom five, and that's what we're going to do right now, 28 all the way to number 32. So I'm going to start with 28. Man, I really wanted to keep them out of this. I really did. And I could look around the league and probably go, all right, I could have put you in there. But the reality of it is, still not a good football team. But their story on Sunday was great, and that's Arizona. Arizona had Kyler Murray back, and he was awesome. I mean, seriously, he was awesome. And Arizona... They beat Atlanta. They're still a team that, they're not going to be world beaters or anything. But Kyler Murray back might mean like, hey, the tanking talk can calm down a little bit. So Arizona, you're 28. Wish I could put you higher because I was happy for you.
Yeah, see, I was like, I like the story. I like the comeback of Kyler Murray. So I kept him out. Okay. I said, for this week only, you're out. Instead, I put down who they played.
Atlanta.
Atlanta, you should not be losing to a guy who just came back for his first NFL action off of torn ACL.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
That's
Falcons,
right.
you're not looking pretty at all. You're not doing anything. The one thing they did right is they started feeding Bijan Robinson the ball again, which I was happy to see.
He got a touchdown.
Happy to see that. But
yeah.
My
rookie of the year prediction is shot through the roof,
shot.
But that's okay. All right.
Even if, but I mean, here's the deal, right? You couldn't have predicted what CJ Stroud was going to do. So, but you also couldn't predict that Atlanta has a formidable weapon on their team that they decided, we don't really need him on the team, right?
Right. Exactly.
Let's stop using him.
Just pumping him up a little bit.
So, yeah, so, Atlanta, you're 28 for me.
He did. Kyler Murray did some good things for Arizona, but I agree with you. Atlanta, that was pretty bad. Desmond Ridder had to come back in the game.
He did.
And because Tyler Heineke got
now
hurt.
I'm sure
Arthur Smith was like thrilled for that.
Well, now you just sit back as the Falcons. I mean, what do? He's like, you toss your hands up and go, we need another quarterback.
Yeah.
Because exactly. Desmond Ridder can't do it. Taylor Heineke was just really, he's going to become that journeyman now. He's just going to bounce from one team to another and hope for Josh Dobbs type success.
All right, this is 29 for me. This is a little more personal, and I probably could have easily found some more teams, like Atlanta, maybe the Rams. I wanted to put somebody a little different in here, and I put the Tennessee Titans. This has been that was kind of sad. They're 3-6, and they're not going to make the playoffs. Now, Will Levis, he had an okay game against Pittsburgh, and he had an abysmal game against Tampa Bay. Just didn't get anything moving, didn't get things clicking. I expect that. But the Titans couldn't help him, and that was the problem. Derrick Henry had like 13 carries for 25 yards. The team couldn't help him. The things that were wrong with the Titans that weren't Ryan Tannehill or Malik Willis or Will Levis, they did come through in the game against the Buccaneers. And maybe because there's a little bit more laser focus where I live on the deficiencies of this football team, but I wanted to express them because I think they'll be seeing them a little more as the season progresses. But they're 3-6. That's a worse record than Atlanta, who I could have put there. It's the same record as the Rams and the Packers. It's the same record as the Bears. But the Bears are like 3-7. But nevertheless, it's the same win total as Chicago. Titans are 29.
That's actually a good choice. You know, I often forget about the Titans like most of the NFL community does. But I remember on Twitter, I was like scrolling through Twitter just to, you know, when your Sunday games are going on. I saw this pop up a few times. Did Derrick Henry die?
Yeah.
Asking,
I'm telling you.
You know, it's like asking for my fantasy team. It's got to be, that's got to hurt. It's got to hurt when you're thinking, you know, Titans, you know, hey, if you can't throw the ball, at least you can run on the Buccaneers defense, right? There's nothing special about them.
Henry had 24 yards rushing. That was a team high.
So, but I don't have them as in my bottom five. That's a good choice. So I respect that one. But at 29 for me, and I feel like this is just low hanging fruit, but this is where I have the Jets.
Jets, sure.
J-E-T-S. Yeah. No, 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 no.
No touchdowns.
If Aaron Rodgers is right about coming back sometime, what, like mid-December?
Right.
You know, that might be the only way the Jets climb out of the bottom five permanently.
Yeah.
And because I really do think a one-legged Aaron Rodgers is better than anything you put out on quarterback right now.
They are really, really doubling down on Zach Wilson.
I don't get it.
I get one part of it. Their ego is in the way here.
Yeah,
they need to step back and go, this didn't work like we thought.
Yeah.
We have to score touchdowns. If we score just a touchdown, we win these two games.
And is it also the fact of, you know, and this is part of the problem, if you bench Zach Wilson, is he so fragile that he knows that, okay, my NFL career is over?
My NFL career could be done, yeah.
Because, no, it will be. I mean, maybe he gets another chance with another shot, another team. But, I mean, if you're the Jets, you know, if you're going to bench him for Trevor Siemian and wait for Aaron Rodgers to return, pack him up and ship him out.
Yeah.
Do what Joe Namath said a long time ago. We had that moment of someone was like, oh, Zach Wilson, maybe he's not so bad. No, he is that bad.
You know, it's funny because we have to remind ourselves that even though it feels like a short season, it's really a long season. And anything that happens this week is not a trend. You know, when Zach Wilson was coming back together and looking good and looking better, it was a brief period of time before he got back to what he was, why people were screaming that in the first place. So everybody went, oh, Joe, don't be so hard on him. He's just a kid, maybe Joe was right. That's how quick you can fall in this league. When you perform well, you better perform well week in and week out. All right, number 30 for me, and that is I put the Carolina Panthers here, and they're terrible, and they should be the last team. But I did it because I don't have anything else. I'm not screaming to the heavens that this team stinks.
Listen, I have them at 30 as well, and it's like I don't want to pile on Bryce Young.
Right.
Like, I feel bad for him. You just don't have a good team around you, and I don't feel like we're getting a fair chance of seeing what you can really do in the NFL.
I want to ask men out there, if you're married, how would you like it if your wife kept saying over and over again, why can't you be like your brother Steve? Why can't you be more like Steve? Why can't you be more? Steve holds the door open for his wife. Steve brings home flowers. Steve will make dinner sometimes. You'd drive you crazy, right?
Yep.
Bryce Young is getting that every day from the media. Why aren't you CJ Stroud? Why can't you be like CJ Stroud? Look what's going on over there. Why can't we be that? And he's learning this league like every rookie learns this league. You get your butt kicked. And maybe he doesn't ever recover from that. Maybe he learns hard lessons like some of the other greats that have gone through this. But this is what he's supposed to do. So I don't fault the Panthers for this. They're all in on Bryce Young. They are not benching him for somebody else. They're not letting somebody else get a chance. The season's over. It's all about him getting better. Yeah, we need to calm down because C.J. Stroud is absolutely unique and special. But Bryce Young, you're right. That's all they're doing is just getting him reps. Reps, 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 and learn from those reps. So can't fault him for that. So you had the Panthers at 32?
Yeah, I have 30 as well, yep.
31. I put the Patriots here. Mm. I went back and forth. I went back and forth with other teams.
Can I assume what your 32 is then?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Because your 32 might be my 31.
Yeah, Giants.
Giants. Because my 32 is your 31.
Okay, so you have the Patriots the worst. I was going to do it.
I put the Giants higher because they've beaten the Patriots twice before, so why not a third time?
Why not, yeah. this Patriots team is really, really awful.
It really is.
It really is. It's embarrassingly bad. It's
I can't believe this is Belichick's legacy, what he has become. And I said this out loud. We were talking earlier that sometimes we just yell at the TV for no reason.
Right.
And I said this about the Patriots, which was, I cannot believe Mac Jones is going to cost Bill Belichick his career.
I know.
Because
I know.
Belichick went all in on Mac Jones. He is not the quarterback. He is like every other Alabama quarterback there has ever been outside of Jalen Hurts and Tua.
Yeah.
Jury's still out on Bryce Young.
Right. We'll wait on Bryce Young. You're right. Tua and Jalen Hurts. Mac Jones, they're saying that, and I had to look this up, and I looked this up yesterday. This is the worst start for Bill Belichick in his career since the year 2000. Right? Now, we know how 2001 turned out. But in 2000, they were 2-8. They're 2-8 now. They finished 5-11. They're not going to finish 5-11. I'll tell you that right now. This team has got a lot
of
problems.
If they finish 5-11, will they then go and draft with the 199th pick, the next greatest quarterback of all time, will then extend Bill Belichick's career? I'm speaking as every Bostonian right now.
Can you imagine a coaching career? Okay, I get it. He was at Cleveland. Let's just forget that for a second. Where the entirety of your existence at New England consists of a year 2000 of going 5-11. And then it's over in a year in which you went 4-13. And in the middle is the greatest run in the history of the NFL. Bookend on the greatest run in the history of the NFL are two absolutely lousy seasons. Now, some might say, isn't how that works, right? You become a coach, you stink. And then when you leave, you stink. When you get fired, you stink.
Yep.
Holy cow. Giants, what do we want to say about them?
You're not going to go anywhere with Tommy DeVito.
Not Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito, move out of your parents' house.
That's right. Get out of your parents' house and be careful of the Scheinbach jokes. And also, the Giants can't score. 11 points a game, they can't score. They stink. They're 32 for me, 31 for you.